Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another broadcast of The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. Just to let you know, here in Arizona right now, it's a little after midnight, about 1 o'clock, and we've got rain in the forecast, thunderstorms in the forecast. Yeah, I've been out there already. It's a strong wind, lots of lightning, thunder. I don't know, always been saying this to y'all, is that I don't know how long, you know, this connection will be good. So if it does go out, you'll know why. It's nothing to do with me, it has to do with, well, the weather. And just let you know, in case we are disconnected, that's probably the reason. Anyhow, once again, I want to say thank you for listening. And I'm going to try my best, if I see any callers this time, to try to respond. I'm just learning the process. But at the same time, I believe that I'm going to take it just one step at a time and look at it as that. And hopefully in this learning process, I'll get better at it, hopefully more professional at it. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I know only one thing, open my mouth and let God fill it. And that's what I do. So all the other things, the technical stuff, the connections for other people to talk, it's something I got to learn. So bear with me. Be patient with me. I will. By the grace of God, learn how to do this better and better every time I come on the air. I'm believing that, truly. I am truly believing that. But anyhow, tonight's broadcast, or this broadcast, will be on the winepress of God and the spirit of Pharaoh in America. Very interesting topic, the winepress of God. Now, this ain't the great winepress that's talked about in Revelation. This is just the winepress. And it was once again when I was in prayer. I wasn't looking for this stuff. But it's like the Holy Spirit just put it in my lap, as they say. And it's amazing, if you spend your time in prayer and you seek the Lord, and you just listen, God will reveal himself. And there's some things he may tell you that, he may not have told a lot of people. He probably told others, but in the circle you're in or circle I'm in, that may not be the case. It's amazing that I myself personally, even in the dream, the storm warning dream, it's been much better than night when the Lord gave me that when I was in prayer. I wasn't looking for this stuff, at least not consciously. I wasn't, hey God, give me a prophetic message. Oh God, give me a prophetic message to shake America. Oh Lord, give me something so I can really rattle the chains. I wasn't doing that. It wasn't a plan. Wasn't my plan. It's amazing when you least expect to be used or to find out something, all of a sudden God lets you know. And I think part of the reason why he lets you know is because, one, he wants you to get ready and prepared to do whatever you're being called to do. And a guy can take someone who is a nobody, as the norms of society of ministry looks at a lot of people. I hate to say it, but it's true. You know, if you're not going to a certain Bible college, you're not a certain part of a Bible fraternity, or you don't got this, you don't got that, then, you know, you're not in the inner circle, so you kind of push it aside. But God don't push no one to the side. He takes the ones who are put to the side and puts them in the forefront, actually. And he puts them there, even though they may not be received or accepted by the message that he's given them, because he wants them to see just how much they're willing to be obedient and take whatever flack, I guess is the word you would say, that's going to come their way. I know I have. And it's to be expected. When, because, you know, the watchman, like I shared before, when the watchman on the wall in the Old Testament, that watchman had a lot of responsibilities. And one of the most important responsibilities of the watchman was they were to see what others couldn't see. And they were put up on the wall. And of course, when you're higher up, you see further in the horizon. So you see things coming your way that others who are on the ground don't see. Well, that's mainly what is happening in the prophetic, that God takes individuals and he lets them see things that are coming that others don't see. And the watchman actually, if they weren't on their post, there were some serious repercussions, major repercussions. So the question is for those who are watchmen, whether or watchwomen, whatever you want to call it, watchperson, their responsibility is to see the danger, to see the signs, to see the warnings, and the storm that's coming. And then the watchman was not even in the Old Testament where that, well, they see the enemy coming and they go, okay, well, I guess I better warn the people, you know. And it wasn't like lackadaisical. I mean, this was a passion, you know, sound the alarm, the enemy's coming, arms to arms, prepare, prepare, prepare. And the people on the ground either did two things. One, obeyed or didn't. They believed or they didn't believe. Same thing now. And as ministers of the gospel and as watch person, or watchman or watchwoman, whatever it may be, the responsibility is not to see if people are going to respond. Responsibility is to see, no, I take that back, not see, but to do and shout the alarm and send it forth, whether people listen or not. That's the responsibility of the watchman. And they're not there to, okay, that one listened and that one didn't listen. They're just supposed to share it. Give what God gave them, and whether people do it or don't, believe it or not, listen or won't listen, that's not their position. Their place is to sound the alarm when God gives them the warning that things are coming on America and on the nations of this earth. So anyhow, wanted to share that with you a little bit. And about this winepress of God, this is a very interesting topic, because you can see the pieces coming together. That's what's so amazing about the dream 2010, that all these different messages are like a puzzle, and they're coming together one at a time, and you can see them fitting in their proper places. At least I do. So let's pray, and then let's look at this topic about the winepress of God, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word with the people on the air, on radio, listening to the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord God, that whatever you want, you will, for these people that they will be attentive and listen to what the Spirit says. I pray, Lord God, you just anoint these lips of clay. Help me, God, to be a blessing to these people, and that we can understand what your will is and what you're trying to say in these messages, so that we can have our hearts set up on you and on fire for you, and that we'll be prepared and ready for whatever's coming, and that we'll be able to stand as warriors for Christ in the midst of the storm. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Okay. Let's go into this understanding of this wine press of God and the spirit of Pharaoh in America. And while I was in prayer, I was thanking the Lord for the year of the open door and the supernatural, and thanking the Lord for the great things that are going to happen. This was in, I believe, the beginning of 2014. I'm pretty sure this is when I really felt the presence of the Lord, and this is the message he gave me. And I heard these words in my spirit, the wine press of God. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not even thinking in this direction. Then I hear there's a spirit of Pharaoh on America, and I'm going to break it. I'm going to let America reap what it has sown. I am will let them get caught in their all their cunning craftiness and their wicked devices. And America and all who call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say will be put in this wine press. And I will squeeze them, and all their man-made plans will fall apart before their eyes. That's pretty interesting. That God would say, I'm going to squeeze them, and all their man-made plans will fall apart before their eyes. But those who are mine will not. In other words, when they're not going to be squeezed. They're not going through the wine press. They will see it. And as it was when my people were in bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh and brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt, those who were in Zoan in the land of Goshen, I am, protected them. And there will be a response, a retaliation for those who are in this wine press, from those who are in this wine press. Exodus chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. My people, do not fear or worry. Trust me. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Stay strong in my faith and my holy word, and with burning, passionate prayer and fasting. So be ready. For those who are in the wine press will cry and call out to me, and I will hear, and I will birth and bring forth the next great awakening. Given by the Holy Spirit of the living God to Minister Thomas Miracle, through the body of Christ, and whosoever the Lord will call. That's a pretty powerful statement. I mean, I know for one thing, I sure wouldn't want to be sharing something like that, and it'd be something I thought of, and then put that out there. That'd be crazy. I know. I think it would be crazy. I don't know. Maybe you might not, but I know I would. There ain't no way I could come up with this stuff. There's just no way, you know. And so I know that. Before God reveals what he reveals, he reveals to the prophets. He reveals it to those who are listening. And God always wants to reveal his heart. He likes, and I really believe that with my heart. And he wants to reveal his heart to a person whose heart is toward him. You know, pure in heart, open to him. And I truly believe that he doesn't, you know, I mean, it's just not one person. God's no respect to person. Just whoever, you know, really has that heart yearning for God, for Christ. And this was just a moment in time where I truly believe my heart was in the right place. And I was attentive to the Holy Spirit, and I was worshiping and praying and seeking the Lord with everything I had. And then it was like I just felt the Holy Spirit give this message to me. And I had to, I tried to write down as much as I could, and then the Holy Spirit brought that later on so I could complete what was being said. That's amazing for myself personally. It's like I said before, it's like a puzzle. You know, maybe for others it isn't a puzzle, but for me it's a puzzle. It's a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there, a little piece there. And that's why people say, well, why don't God talk all the time to some new people, you know? Or why ain't God, especially when I was a baby Christ, I'd be saying, okay, why don't I feel the Lord all the time? Why don't I hear his voice all the time? Because if you hear it all the time, and it's okay to hear the voice of the Lord all the time if that's what's going to happen. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. But I've realized that in those times where we have to walk by faith, I realize that the times when there are no feelings and there is no sense of presence of the Lord, and there is no thus saith the Lord where he's speaking into your spirit, and you know that voice. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. When that comes your way, you know that voice. It's, oh my gosh, it's Holy Spirit, it's the Lord. He's trying to tell me something, and then you shut up, and then you listen. Sometimes we pray so much, we talk too much, and when God's trying to tell us something, we're not hearing it because we keep on talking. But that's another story in itself. Anyhow, like I shared before, like I said, this is what was given. And I thought it was interesting. He goes back to the beginning. He says, the winepress of God. And says, the Holy Spirit said, there's a spirit of Pharaoh on America, and I'm going to break it. So what's the spirit of Pharaoh? What's that mean, Pharaoh? And so you go back into the book, you know, Exodus. And you find out that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he would not. He wanted, because in Egypt, Pharaoh was the top guy, the one who everyone worshipped, you know. The guy who, you know, was the man. And these people thought they were gods, I guess. And so whatever Pharaoh said, that's the way it was. And they are the kind of people that their will was self-imposed upon the will of all the people, especially the Israelites. And Pharaoh is anti-God. Pharaoh is against anything that would be opportunity to worship at that time in the Old Testament, Jehovah. You know, Pharaoh said, no way, they belong to me. Moses was saying, you know what, God said, you know, I let them come out so they can worship me. And Pharaoh's like, I'm not going to listen to your God or anything like that. I'm going to rebel and I'm going to fight your God and I'm going to win. And I got all my magicians and all the other things. And, you know, and here's the interesting thing about this is that Pharaoh represented selfishness, self-centeredness, pride, and haughtiness, you know, and God just broke him. And he did it with the 10 plagues, as we know what it talks about in Scripture. And what's interesting about the 10 plagues is that every plague that came upon Egypt, because of Pharaoh's hardening and rebellion and disobedience before Jehovah, I am, it was all about the gods that the Egyptians served. Every god that they followed, God was going to show them, I'm God, not your gods of statues, not your gods that you believe in, the gods of fertility or the gods of corn or grain or even, you know, and the last one, death. God was going to show Pharaoh that he was God. And all those gods that they were serving were no gods. And the ones you're crying out to, they couldn't help them because there's only one true God. And God was letting them know, I am who I am, and I'm God. So anyhow, what's interesting, like I said before, is that all these plagues came upon Egypt, but they didn't come upon the land of Zoan. And that's what we were talking about before about this broadcast. And the land of Goshen. So God protected his people. Now, the wine press, I did a little study on it, not a super big study, but the wine press is just simply what it is. It squeezes whatever is in it. And we're seeing that today. America's getting squeezed. And we're seeing it in so many different ways. And I'm not going to go into all of them because I don't think we have enough time. But the point is, we're seeing the squeeze. We're seeing it economically. We're seeing it politically. We're seeing it in man-made religion. We're seeing it in the demographics of this country. What we're allowing to come in here that wasn't allowed to come here 10 years ago. We're seeing the squeeze. And I truly believe what the Holy Spirit is saying is that these people who think they've got their man-made plans and they've got it all figured out and it's all going to turn out great and dandy, when I squeeze, those man-made plans are going to fall apart. And all these people who play church, all these people who say, Lord, 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 but their hearts are from him, he says, I'm going to put them in the wine press too. The ones who are playing games, the ones who got their name on the membership, you know, and even maybe give money and shake the pastor's hand, but their heart's not right before God. I'm going to squeeze them. It's interesting. I'll never forget that this brother that I knew in the Lord, I believe was saved, and he had that foundation of Christ, but he was also, you know, building another foundation. He had another foundation going where it was wood, hay, and stubble. And wood, hay, and stubble, according to Scripture, is all going to get burned up. If the foundation isn't of Christ, sooner or later, it's all going to fall. It's not going to survive. It will not last. So the wine press of God, and the spirit of Pharaoh in America, it you can see it if you really, really look what's out there. You'll see it. You can see it even in the way that America is getting squeezed. So they're trying to squeeze the Christian. You've got people who are judges who are, you know, agreeing to mental cruelty settlements, trying to, you know, against Christians. And it's sad. And I'll say this too. And this is just my opinion. I'm not saying don't take the Lord on this. I'm not saying, well, God said or blah, blah, blah. But this is my opinion. This is me speaking from the heart. What really saddens me, and I'm a little confused. If someone can help me with this, I would like a response. I hear that there's certain denominations and certain, you know, church organizations that have made a stand, and that's good. Their stand is we are for the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, and that's it. And if we have to go to jail, then we go to jail. Well, you know what? That's great. And I applaud them. But I have a problem. And I'll be honest with you. My problem is, what about the babies that are being murdered? Why? How do we put marriage between a man and a woman above the life of a baby? You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking straight up with you all. How do you do that? I mean, what, 40 years of this pro-choice and the slaughtering of lives, all that blood, all that innocent life, and there's been people who have protested. They've gone even to jail. I, for one, I got arrested back in the 80s because the Lord told me. He said, "You're going to take a stand against abortion. You're not going to talk about it. You're gonna walk it." And I think the chapters in Proverbs chapter 24. I think it starts with verse 10 through verse 12. And this is just paraphrasing, but I believe the first scripture says, if you faint in the day of your adversity, your strength is small. And it says, rescue the ones who are perishing. Rescue the ones who can defend themselves, protect themselves. If we do not do this, will not the Lord say, in other words, I know. I don't try to play games with me. I know. I know your heart. And that's the amazing thing that people don't get. He knows everything. He knows our hearts, all of us. And so to bring that in the perspective that I'm trying to say, I believe the simplest way to put it is, what is the value of life? I mean, I'm for marriage between a man and a woman. I believe in wholeheartedly that's the way it should be according to Scripture. And that is a very integral fiber of what we are in America. I truly believe that, what we were brought up to be by our forefathers. Marriage is between a man and a woman. But, like I said, you've got all these churches or denominations now who are, we're going to take a stand. If we have to go to jail, then we go to jail. I'm thinking, wait a second. What about the ones who are being slaughtered? Their limbs are being took off them. They're being cut in pieces. We just go to church and forget about that. But when it comes to the marriage between a man and woman, we're going to raise a stink. You know what? God bless them. I'm all for it. But I think, this is, like I said, this is my own opinion. Life should be just as important or more important than any other subject or any other topic that we are going to take a stand with according to the Word of God. That's all I'm saying. 40 years, most of the church has been silent. Not all, but most. And all those lives have been eliminated because of two words, pro-choice. And people want to know, why would God want to bring the wine press up on America? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? If it will squeeze people to the point where they're going to realize that, oh my gosh, in my own strength I can't do this, and all of my man-made plans are falling apart, then the best thing that can happen is they come to a place of brokenness and come to a place of emptiness and realize they need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Okay. In America, and all who call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say, will be put in this wine press. That's deep. To me, that's very deep. God's saying, you know what? You call me Lord, but you don't live the life. You call me Lord, but you're not showing Christ. And I'm going to put you in the wine press, too. Wow. And that's not to be mean. It's to wake us up. I don't believe that God's doing, I'm going to do it because I'm God. No, he's doing it. You know what? I'm going to show you that your plans aren't working. I'm going to show you that this is not the way to go. You're walking in the wrong direction. And all your man-made plans are not going to work because I want you to realize that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you need to serve me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, it says, those who are mine will see this, as it was when my people were in bondage to Egypt, and Pharaoh had brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt. Those who were in Zoan, in the land of Goshen, I am protected them, and there will be a response retaliation with those who are in this wine press. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, but God's saying to his people, do not fear or worry, trust me, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, stay strong in my faith and my holy word, and with burning passion and prayer and fasting. So be ready. For those who are in the wine press will cry out to me, and I will hear. And God says that through this wine press, as he breaks the spirit of Pharaoh in America, and he allows these people to go through the wine press who are not following him, that are rebelling, who have their own man-made plans, and it all gets broken up before their eyes. He says that I will bring forth the next great awakening. That's what I felt in my spirit. He was telling me. So here is judgment. Here is God saying, I'm going to break that spirit of Pharaoh, that selfishness, that self-centeredness, that haughtiness, that rebelliousness, that I am more powerful. I'm president, or I'm the emperor, or I'm the prime minister. I'm going to break that spirit that, you know, you think you're something. I'm going to show you that you're nothing. But at the same time, as it goes through the wine press, and when you start crying out to me, my people will be praying for you, and they're going to be there to represent me, and I'm going to show you through them that you can receive Christ, you can receive me as Savior and Lord. And I will bring forth the next great awakening, the great next move of God, the next great revival. Because the key to revival is brokenness. I mean, that's very simple. People want revival when everything's falling apart. When everything's falling apart and things aren't working and there doesn't seem to be any hope, the only hope is in Christ. So the only thing to do is to turn to Jesus Christ, to be revived spiritually, the next great awakening, the next great move of God, the next great prayer explosion, if you want to put it that way, salvation explosion. Because when we in ourselves realize that we need a mighty move of God, a mighty touch of God, and when the people in the world who go through this squeezing and watch everything fall apart, that's where it's time to seek the Lord. And so, in that regard, this is a beautiful message, a beautiful prophetic message, because God's saying, I'm going to break that spirit of Pharaoh. I'm going to put him in a wine press. But I'm going to give them hope. I'm not going to leave them there. I'm going to give them the opportunity to realize they can turn to me. And by them crying out to me and you praying for them, and by you interceding for them, I can bring forth the next great revival, the next great move of God, the next great awakening. I think that's a powerful message itself. Very powerful. And see, that's what God, he cares about each and every one of us. He's not willing to any perish. You know, he's not a God there that's saying, okay, you go to hell, you go to hell, you go to hell, you go to hell because you fell, you go to hell. No, he doesn't want that. He said, I'm not willing to any perish, but all kind of repentance. God is holiness, and he's a God who's sovereign. He gives each and every one of us a choice to decide, do we want to serve him or do we want to serve self and sin and the devil? Simple. Do we want to live in the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ, or do we want to live unrighteous? Do we want to surrender our life and make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior? Or do we keep on living a selfish, self-centered life? And here's what people don't understand. but not some people, I should say. God is a God of grace. And he lets us have choices, and we are allowed, he allowed to make the choices that we make to a point. But the choices have consequences. And when we choose to follow our own way, our own desires, our own direction, later on, we're going to find out this is an empty path we're traveling, and it's going to bring us to nothingness. And to me, this is mercy by the Holy Spirit, by God, that he would put people in the wine press and give them a good shaking and squeezing so that they'd realize that, you know what? Your plans are temporal, and they're not going to last forever. And the direction you're going is a way to destruction. So I'm trying to shake you to wake you up so that you turn to me and receive me as Savior and Lord, and you can be with me and the saints of God and the angels forever and ever and ever. That to me is mercy. Some may see it differently, but I don't. That's God showing mercy. That's amazing. Like I've said before, even in the end, the final, the great white throne judgment, says that death, I believe, and hell are cast in the lake of fire, and Satan and the demons are cast in the lake of fire. The last thing that goes in the lake of fire is, guess what? Mankind. And people ask me, say, how can you express God's love for mankind? I say, you go to Revelation, you'll find out. It's the last thing. The Creator has to send the created to a place that he doesn't want them to go, but they choose that path, and they choose that direction. He doesn't want no one to perish. It's not God's will. That's why Christ came, to give people the opportunity to be reconnected back to God through Jesus Christ. It's amazing. That's mercy. That's grace. And so, even though this prophetic message starts out with judgment, in the end, the message ends up with mercy and reconciliation. And grace and reconnection, because God doesn't want no one to perish. He wants all. All means all. It's their choice. And that's what the church has been crying out for. Excuse me. Is for the next great awakening. The next great revival, the next great move of God. But it's going to cost. It's going to cost. And for those in the church and the body of Christ who's listening to this message, it's going to cost you to spend time in the Lord. It's going to cost you to seek God and intercede for your friends and people you know that don't know Jesus Christ. It's going to cost, and it's costing in other ways. People are losing their life. Children are losing their life because of the murderous demonic spirit that's working through these people who are killing people, especially Christians. And the spirit of Pharaoh, one thing about the spirit of Pharaoh that's important to understand is that it's totally anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's totally against following the ways of the Lord. It's totally against following the will of the Lord. It's a spirit of haughtiness. It's a spirit of self-centeredness. It's a spirit of rebellion. It tries to put itself above God. And we saw what happened to Pharaoh. in the Old Testament, it all fell apart on him. It all fell apart. What he thought would work totally was destroyed, disintegrated right before his eyes. And the last, of course, was the death of the firstborn of Egypt, because he called it out first for the children of Israel. And Moses said, you just brought the last one on yourself, buddy. And like I said, these people who are in leadership that think, well, you know what, I'm going to stick it to the Christians, or I'm going to really squeeze them. God, you know what? No, I'm going to squeeze you. You know, I'll tell you what's really sad, and I'll be straight with you. I saw an article that really worked on my spirit. And the article was these people who are religious extremists, I'll put it to you that way. I believe they beat a husband and wife, Christian husband and wife couple, and their daughter. Then they tied them up, and then they burned them. You know what? Let me put this to you straight. Can I? Can I really, really lay it on the line like it is? Any man-made religion that allows anything like that, and any leader, whether it's a president, whether it's an emperor, whether it's a prime minister, I don't care who the person's title is in leadership, if they say that that's okay for man-made religious extremist people to do that to not just Christians, but to other people because they don't follow their belief, that's a murdering demonic spirit. What? Those people are being led by demons too, and the blood of the innocent lives that's being shed is also on the leadership who's allowing it to happen. Did you hear what I said? The blood of the innocent is also on the leaders or leadership of the people of that country, of that nation who's allowing it to happen. And they're going to answer for it. If they don't repent, if they don't turn to Christ and ask forgiveness of their sins, I pity them when they reach the great white throne judgment. Because in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, God says, don't think you're going to mock me. You're going to reap what you sow. And I'm going to reward you according to your works. Oh, but I didn't have nothing to do with the killings, the murdering. No, but you approved it. You condoned it. You said it's okay because it's part of what man-made religion books say it's okay. And you defend it. So guess what? You're as guilty as the one who burned them, and you're as guilty as the one who cut them up. Guilty. End of story. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. And this is what really, really bothers me. Because these people who want to protect these people's rights or say, well, that's because of their man-made religion and that's what their belief, and then they condone it? Yet they have nothing to do with it. They're as guilty as the ones who did it. The blood's on their hands also. You hear me? The blood is on their hands also. I just can't believe that what's going on out there. I mean, I can believe it, but it just boggles my mind. Children being crucified, hung, people being buried alive, people being set on fire alive. Christians, just because they're Christians, a mob goes against them because they're radical extremists believing in a certain different other man-made religion. And I guess stab them or beat them and then burn them while they're alive. Rope them up, tie them up, and then burn them. You know what? That's demon. That's demonic. That's the devil. That's the demon. It's a murdering spirit. It's a demonic murdering spirit. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It is. And what's interesting is you go back in the scripture, what Jesus Christ said. He said, these people think they're doing God's service. They're reprobate. Sad, but they're reprobate. And they follow sin, and they're the servant of sin, and they listen to the demons, and they obey the demons, and people are being executed and murdered. All for what? Because they don't believe what the other people believe? Yeah, right. No, it's demons murdering people through these people. And like I said, leadership that allows it or even protects that kind of garbage, the blood's on their hands also. That's my opinion. That's my personal perspective. And I stand by it, and I will not retract. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is a murdering demonic spirit. And it's really sad. But this brings us to this place. We know that Jesus said that they're things they're doing God's service, and they're not. They're being led by demons of darkness. And they don't realize it, but they're being led eventually to the slaughter if they don't repent, turn to Jesus Christ also. So we see here in this message that God says, I'm going to squeeze. In the spirit of Pharaoh, I'm going to break it. So it's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out. I've shared to you before already that, you know, there is a lot of things that used to be, how do I say, the way we had it here in America, that's now null and void. It's changed. And this is only because we're coming to the end. We are at the end of the age, and now we're just coming to the final hours. If we're not in the final, it's the last minute. So with that, I'd like to let you know that if you have heard this message and you realize that your man-made plans and your ideals aren't working, and you have an emptiness inside, and there's a brokenness in your spirit, because you realize that all the avenues that you've took has led you to a dead end. Now I got good news for you. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He is the one that can bring peace where there is no peace, and joy where there is no joy. So if you are that person right now, and you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is drawing you now to receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, then I beg you, I plead with you, don't make the mistake of refusing the call of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your life. It's time to turn to Christ. It's time to repent of your sins. It's time to make Him Savior and Lord. We're there. Even people that aren't saved Christians yet, they can see it. We're there. We're coming very close to. We're at the end, actually. It's just a matter of time. Compared to eternity, we're at the door. So with that, I would strongly suggest that you pray this prayer with me and believe God. Answer this prayer and receive me, saving Lord. So let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Father, in the name of Jesus, I count you right now a sinner. I have rebelled against you. I have turned away from you. I've ran away from you. I tried to do it my way. I tried to live my life the way I want to. I tried to do it my way. And I've realized that it's led me nowhere but brokenness, despair, heartache, and pain. And I have an emptiness inside, and I need you to fill it. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come in my life. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I surrender my will to you. Lord, hold on to me. Make me the man, the woman that you want me to become. I thank you, Lord, that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I thank you, Lord, that you are the healer of the brokenhearted. I thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of my strength. And I ask even now that you baptize me in the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost. Pray, Lord, you give me hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give me hunger and thirst for your word. God, make my love for you stronger every moment of the day. And hold on to me no matter what. Bless me that I may bless others. Encourage me that I may encourage others. Let me live a life. Let me be a witness for you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Amen. And if you haven't prayed that prayer yet, please do so as soon as you can. But mean it from your heart, because God knows your heart, and that's all that matters. Anyhow, my name is Minister Tom Miracle. On Facebook, I'm Thomas Miracle. And I have the I Stand With Israel as my picture. You can friend me, and we can become friends. And if you have questions about the Bible or any way I can help you or share a prayer request, you have a prayer request that you want us to pray for, by all means, you can do it that way. Or you can join our groups, our Facebook groups. I am the lead administrator in Storm Warning. That's one of the group's names, just like it's spelled. And Native Americans for Christ. We're almost 2,000 in that group and growing daily. And then, of course, our prayer group that the Lord has start. It's called Continuing Prayer for the Persecuted Church, America, the Nations, the Awakening. That's all I could put on there, but I would have liked to put the Great Awakening, but the Awakening is fine. Anyhow, you can join those. And if you don't want to do that, and you just want to send me a message, for prayer, or this program has been a blessing to you, and you have grown in your relationship with Christ, well, amen, I'd love to hear from you. Our P.O. Box is 6261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338-9998 if you want to get there quicker. like I said before, P.O. Box 6261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. Also, our ministry number is 313-610-8437. If you have a prayer request or you have a question about the Bible, I may not be able to get back with you on the ministry phone, but I will get your message, and I will try to get back with you and answer maybe a question you have about the Bible, or you want to know a little more about how to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, or you just want to have a prayer request, and you want someone to pray with you, and we'll be glad to do that. Once again, the number is 313-610-8437. That's 313-610-8437. Our P.O. Box, once again, is 6261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. Facebook groups are, once again, Storm Warning, Native Americans for Christ, and our Continued Prayer for the Persecuted Church, America, and the Nation, the Awakening. Well, I reckon we've come to the end of the broadcast. I just want to thank you for this opportunity. And I just want to share with you what I shared with when I was on the radio in Arkansas. People build empires, but God builds people. He builds us through His Holy Spirit, by His Word, and by prayer. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast, this is Minister Thomas Miracle thanking you once again. And may the Lord bless you. And may you be encouraged. And may you know the signs of the storm are here. And only in those in Christ who are ready will be ready. And those who are not ready will not be ready. It's time. It's time to realize that we must be the warriors that we are called to be for the kingdom of God for such a time as this. God bless you all.